well, we want to encourage you to stay home. We have people in our church life who are immunocompromised. Did I get that right, Drew? Drew's like, yep. Okay, just say it with confidence and you'll believe it. Okay, so we want to make sure that we're looking after each other. So if you've got a cold, please stay home. Now, we understand random coughs happen. Yeah, just like, I don't know about you, but now like I get a little tickle in my throat and I cough and everyone just stops. That's not what we're talking about. If you're feeling unwell, please stay home. Alrighty, we have the recommissioning service for Jeremy and Miri Turvey. It's 4 p.m. on the 14th of August. So you can come here in the morning and get a double dose of church by heading over to Lake Mac for their recommencement service. They are asking for RSVPs. So if you are wanting to go, I'd probably whisper in Barbie's ear. Is that a fair call? Yep. Ooh, tea afterwards. Oh. All right, now I feel bad. Like, we need to offer tea. Anyway, it's the competitive nature in me. All right, we've been talking last week about some positions we had available. We are currently in negotiation with someone to fill in our morning tea coordinator, but we're still looking for a Brook Kids coordinator starting next term. If you think God's calling you into doing that, I'd love to have a conversation with you after our service. All righty. I'm going to invite Barbie to come and give us today's Bible. It comes from Luke chapter 8, 16 to 21. Thanks, Barbie.
This is Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 16. It follows on from the Sermon on the Mount, so Jesus is still speaking. No one lights a lamp or hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken away from them. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." Amen.
Well, for those of you online who have just joined us, thank you for joining with us this morning as we spend time exploring faith, life, and what God really wants from us. Now, last week we talked about this famous parable, the parable of the sower. If you weren't here, I'm sure you know what the parable's about, right? A farmer goes to plant some seed, and as he goes, he just throws the seed everywhere, seemingly foolishly. He throws it on the footpaths, amongst rocks, and occasionally he gets a seed to land in the good soil. The birds come along and eat it up. The weeds choke it out. Some grow into shallow roots. Jesus explains to his disciples afterwards that this parable is a description. These different soils are pictures of people and how they respond when they hear the word of God. But the seed that does land in the good soil, it grows and it produces a good crop. And what I love about this picture, what I love about this parable, I should say, is that this is a picture of Jesus' ministry. Jesus puts the kingdom of God, that seed, in front of all sorts of people. I mean, we see Jesus putting it in front of the religious leaders, the religious people, the sinful people. Hey, Jesus will put this seed in front of Jewish people, Gentiles, the good, the evil. Hey, he even promotes this gospel to demonically possessed people. All types of soil. It seems like Jesus doesn't care what type of soil it is. He just wants to spread that grain as far as he possibly can. Jesus wants to put into people's mind and heart the coming of the kingdom of God. And he does that for anyone who is listening. And then Jesus tells his disciples to do the same thing. In Matthew's account of the parable of the sower, there's a little bit extra. The parable goes on to say that the seed that lands in the good soil, it doesn't just produce a good harvest, it produces 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So we came away from it going, you know what, we don't need to be soil inspectors. Rather, we need to be sowers. We need to be people who put it out into the kingdom. And that's what we left with last week, that challenge. That desire to do the same thing, to take the Great Commission to heart and to act on it. And then we come to this passage. Now, I was reading this week that some people weren't sure if this section follows on directly after Jesus shares the parable of the sower. But we do know that Luke likes to put things together to make it more clear for us. They were arguing about whether or not Jesus said the light on a stand. Was that just to the disciples or was that to the crowd that was following him? Was it straight after? Was it a day after? But again, this is not what we're called to focus on. Luke's careful with his writing. What I think we're called to focus on is the importance of the sower. And that's why this bit comes next. He who has ears, let them hear. It's a warning, plain and simple. Jesus has just talked about how people's hearts are. And we can draw from that a question of, well, what's my heart like? It's no wonder that the next thing Luke records is Jesus saying, he who has ears, let him hear. He's re-emphasizing it. He's challenging those to not be simply, oh yeah, that was a good story, but to really hear what it's saying. It challenges the hearer to be a doer as well. And the picture we should get from it is that the word spread, results in the word falling into good hearts. And that's what produces the fruit. But if you don't hear, then the seed won't land in the good soil. And then I think Jesus is clever. And Luke emphasizes it for us when Jesus says, don't hide your light under the bed. Don't hide it in a clay jar. I was thinking about this, Drew, putting an oil lamp under a bed. I don't think that's a good idea anyway. Not only can no one, I think people will be able to see very soon if it's an oil lamp here. I'm pretty sure the bed would catch on fire, but that's a different story. But hiding the light is pointless. Instead, Jesus tells us we should put our light on a stand.
so we can be seen clearly. It's absurd to have something good and to hide it away. This proverb or short parable about lighting an oil lamp, right, and covering it up with a jar is like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, you just wouldn't do that. And this comes after Jesus says the parable of the sower. Can you see how it's an invitation for us to be sowers as well? You've heard the seeds of the gospel, of the good news. Now you need to be someone who passes it on. At the beginning of the year, we talked about how, as a church, we don't want to be mere followers of Jesus. We want to be disciples of Jesus as well. We want to make sure that we're taking the words of Jesus and we're putting them into action. That's what it is. That's what lighting a lamp is. Putting your life, the words of Jesus, that seed of a coming kingdom, putting it on fire and letting it guide you. Allowing it to light your path. I like to go camping occasionally, in case you didn't know. Have you ever tried to walk around at night, no moon, lots of trees, without a light? I remember when I was a kid in high school, we had a youth group, and we had Murder in the Dark or Capture the Flag, yeah, with like the glow sticks or the torch at the end. Yeah, man, like, you try and be sneaky, yeah, but you can't be sneaky if you can't see where you're going. The amount of times I've heard someone go, "Russell, Russell, Russell, Russell," ow, as they tripped over a root. A light is helpful for lighting the way, for seeing the path. Man, I was thinking more about camping, and, you know, when the boys were little, used to give them the torch because, you know, they were a little bit more afraid of the dark. But I discovered something. They would light their path, but they wouldn't light my path. But this here, putting a light on a stand, is a picture of someone who is lighting the path for anyone to see. Lighting the path and helping others find the way. That's why you light a lamp. Last week there was a throwaway line about how a farmer has to keep a little bit of the grain aside for the next sowing season. They need that seed. If they don't have that seed to sow, then they're not going to have a harvest when it comes time the following year. They need that seed to grow more food. But the seeds of the kingdom of God are never ending. I've discovered something. If you've got that seed, if you've got that hope, and if you give it to someone else, guess what? Still there inside you. Give it to someone else and it's still there. You can plant seeds of the kingdom of God that's been planted in your life in multiple other people, and if it's really in you, it will not go away. It'll always be with you. Because that's the point of the seed. That sowing imagery, it's meant to affect others around the sower. The seed that sits in your heart is meant to reproduce. The seed is the light. And it's not just for your benefit. It's not just for my benefit. It's not just for our benefit. It's for the benefit of all around. If you look at the Torah and other Jewish sources, a light, especially a lamp, was a symbol of lighting the way, of encouraging the righteous to move forward. It was about encouraging the wise to follow the path. But when they described fire, it was always used as destruction. Light has this positive spiritual meaning. Light draws people in. I have a confession to make. I'm a 42-year-old man, and I sometimes get afraid of the dark. I don't know what it is, right? I'm the last one in my household to go to bed. Maybe this is you too. But as soon as I turn off the light, I feel like there's something in the shadows ready to jump out at me. Does anyone else feel this way too? Like, your heart starts panicking for no reason. Like, you know the house is secure, it's been secure for a while, like, you've seen the room with the lights on, but suddenly, as soon as the darkness happens, this irrational fear creeps in for no reason. But, well, the only reason is, it's dark. And our minds start to think there's something there. But if there's light on, we feel more relaxed. Okay, maybe you don't feel like me, but maybe you had kids that were afraid of the dark and you had this wonderful invention called a nightlight. You put it on to ease their fear, hoping that they can see. That's what Jesus says here too, doesn't he? The light exposes what is unseen. So this light is not just about allowing us to see where the path is, but it's also allowing us to search ourselves. See, back then, to light a light, to sit around a lamp, was a way of allowing you to see predators coming. Yeah, you sit in the dark, you're not going to see the wolf, tiger, or bear jump out and get you. You'd light it and you would see. The light of the words of Jesus enable us to search ourselves and get rid of the things that shouldn't be there. And I love how Jesus in this mini parable, illustration, like, he doesn't call us to be stingy with our light. Just like with the sower, we were encouraged not to be soil inspectors. Rather, we were called to put the seed forward. We don't know how people are going to respond, so we need to know that we've got to put it out everywhere. Just like lighting a light and putting it on a stand, we don't know who's going to get drawn in. The person who needs the light's the one who's going to get drawn in. But what does that person look like right now if we were to ask? Jesus' point is clear. If you've received the light of the gospel, you're not to conceal it. Instead, you are to let it shine through you for others to see. Constantly, the Bible uses light as an object lesson for so many things. The light's used to describe truth and holiness. It's to describe a spiritual life in Christ. It's the gospel message. We call it the light. It's Jesus himself. And again, Jesus is pointing at the fact that he doesn't want us to hide what is inside of us. In fact, I want to put to you today that Jesus tells us we have an obligation. If we've received the gospel, we're to live openly and share it with others wherever we possibly can. If we're being transformed by the good news, we're to present that truth to others. Jesus explains it like this in Matthew chapter 5. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop, it cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Basket's a little bit better, isn't it, Drew? Because it's not going to burn as quickly as the bed. Or the fire's not going to be as big. Instead, a light is to be placed on a stand, giving light to everyone in the house. So in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. The challenge is to be open about our love of God, to be open about our love for others, to let Jesus that's on the inside be seen on the outside, to let our good deeds shine in our community. God uses this to cause praise in Him. The call is to let our light shine. It's a call to be patient when others are rude. It's called to let love show where others show hate. It's a call to be calm when others are filled with panic. Living by faith when others are living by fear. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so everyone will praise your heavenly Father. As a lamp, you want to shine. Jesus says, pay attention to what you hear. When Luke puts this parable of the lamp and paying attention to what you're hearing, it's a little bit like this. I decided to make some cookies the other day. And I thought to myself, I don't have any sugar. You know what I'm going to put in there? Salt. I was going to make a joke about morning tea, that some of my salt biscuits are actually out there. But I didn't want to do that because then I reckon none of you would touch the biscuits. But I say salt in biscuits, in cookies, and you automatically know what I'm talking about, right? Who's got their hand up to go and get some salt biscuits? None of you's got your hands up. I guarantee you those cookies would not be good. I guarantee it. They're not good because I didn't listen to the instructions and the recipe. I didn't hear properly when Barbara said sugar, not salt. The difference between sugar and salt is something, it's the difference between something tremendous and horrible. How you hear God's word can make a massive difference in the outcome of your life. But to hear, someone has to say. And someone has to remind us to pay attention to what God is doing and saying. Not what we want the word of God to say, but what God is actually saying. So, this is a challenge. It's a challenge to take that picture of being someone who spreads the gospel liberally and anywhere, and to be a light on a hill that shines, that draws people in. And I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to be a sower, and I want to challenge you to be a lamp. So I have this idea. Have you ever heard of a Hundreds Club? I spoke to some friends in the city and they're like, no idea what a Hundreds Club is. It's a fundraising tool that some people do where they get a piece of paper and they write down 1 to 100 and you can buy a number, right? And if your number comes up, you win the prize. And I was thinking about this, right? This is a way that clubs like to fundraise. You know, you win half of the pot and the other half goes to the charity. But my idea was to turn this on its head. As a church, I want to encourage us to think of someone who does not know Christ right now. Over the past few weeks, I've been trying to remind you to start praying for this person. Someone that you know, someone that you have contact with. Maybe you have more than one, but I reckon as a church, we have 100 people. So what I've got here is I've got 100 cards. Well, actually, I've got 98 because I've already taken two. But there's 100 of these love-shaped cards. And this is what I want us to do. I want us to put a name on each one of these cards. Someone that you can pray for. someone that you know, 100 people, 100 people that we're sowing into. We don't know what sort of soil they're going to be. That's okay. God does. What's the important thing about the parable of the sower? God's the one who grows the seed. What's the important thing about the light? The light shines. I want to challenge us. 100 people. I think some of you right now have got a name already in your head. If we can get 100 people, 100 people that we're seeking to reach, if we get 10%, 10 new people into the kingdom of heaven, 10, that deserves a round of applause. If we can ask 100 people, hey, how can I pray for you this week? Oh, would you be interested in reading the Bible with me? And they turn around and they say, no. We can go, okay, a no is not a bad answer. Do you know what a no is, John? It's an answer. It's an answer. The ones you don't want is, oh, let me think about it. I don't know if that's always the polite no or if that's just this. Anyway, I digress. 100 people. And then I want to put them on, I'm thinking this wall over here. And every time you come in on a Sunday and you sit down and you look at the wall and you see your person's name there, pray for them. And then pray for the people, the hearts around. I want to challenge you, man. I want to challenge you to take one of these cards, to write a name on it. Someone that we can all pray for. Actually, I want you to do it now. I'm going to get Drew, because he's right there, to grab the cards, grab the texters, and go around and hand them to people. If you're watching at home, online, you might want to DM or put in the comments a name of a person. I want us to spend some time right now. Now, you might go, oh, the person I want to pray for is really obvious. So you might just want to put down an initial. Yeah? Or you might want to put down a name. Not a full name. Like I was talking about last week, the guy who invited me to football, his name's Ben. I've been praying for Ben for a long time. Yeah? Ben's up there. I know another guy. Just going to identify him as H. Someone I really want to see get into the kingdom. Two people. Two people that I want to see come in, that I constantly pray for. You might have two as well. You might have three. People that you know, people that you see regularly. Pray for that person as often as they come to mind. Pray that God might reveal themselves. Pray for 10 seconds of bravery. I explained that to my sons the other day. Do you know what it takes to do anything that's nerve-wracking? 10 seconds of bravery. If you can get through 10 seconds, you can get through the rest. I'll tell you what. And it's okay if the answer is no, but imagine if they say yes. So spend some time right now. Think about that name. I'm going to keep doing this until I have 100 names, by the way. That's why it's a 100 club. If you need a texter still, raise your hand. We'll get one to you. If you've done it, I want to take it one step further. I want to push you one step further. I want to ask you to come down the front. And I want you just to say the name into this microphone right here, actually. So we can pray for them right now. Don't have to give us a story. Don't have to tell us who they are. You just have to come forward, say that name. You can do it.
Nick.
Mylene.
Lyndon.
You know, Father, we just believe that you will bring these people into the kingdom. Father, we ask for you to work through their lives.
Andrew.
Julie.
Oh, yes, God. Prepare the soil. Light the light.
Lynn.
Yes, God.
Noel, Barbara, Kylie, and TR.
Fantastic.
Leo and Jeff.
Awesome.
Princess.
Andrew.
Lewis.
Paul G.
Yes, God.
Brad.
You know, Father, we've just listed a few names that you've put on our hearts here. But God, we pray, Lord, that we pray that this will be more than just simply, praying for these people, but God, that it will be a chance for us to be actively looking. How can I ask a question? How can I deliver this into a God conversation? Father, we thank you for these people. We thank you for our people here, those at home. We thank you for those names that have yet to be filled on those cards. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would prepare the soil, light the lamp. Let us be a city on a hill that people can see. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. If you didn't come down the front, it's okay. Come down a little later, put your names down. If you've got a card and you have no idea who to put on, that's okay. You can put it right back on the pile. I'm not going to stop, though, till there's 100. 100 people that we're actively trying to reach with the gospel. And there's another challenge with this, man. You're praying at home, but I want to challenge the fantastic people that lead us in prayer in our church each week. To pray that we might be a church that makes disciples. That we might be a disciple-making disciple place, and that we will see a harvest. I'm believing that God is going to do great things here. And I encourage you to pray with us. Amen. I'm going to invite the worship team, Drew and John. I had a mental blank then, John, to come and lead us once again.